calling Dorothy Jane with Deuces from South. So sorry that I missed your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband still trying to reconcile with his wife and his family because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and because I love my wife and my kids and I want to restore a relationship with them. A couple things, and I'm doing this in video again today because my intention is to send out a DVD because this is just going to be an intro for it. But just some quick things. One was I've expressed where my desire, my intent is to live my life modeled around Acts 20:20, where Paul would teach publicly and from house to house. There's the teach and there's just simply be there aspect of it. And I strive to do that. And I engage people literally just walking down the street and sometimes get in some remarkably good conversations. And then, of course, it's the, as I've described, the episkopos thing. What is that? To basically visit issues and people. And I strive to live that. And one of the common people, it's now three, that I meet is Lynn, Gary, and Lynn's daughter, Ree. I was there Saturday, and when I was there, another lady showed up and gave them a gift of a scale. And so for the first time in I think 3 years, I got on a scale. Last time I got on a scale, I was around 230 pounds, which dropped because I was like 240 some. Which I find fascinating because the document my wife has, when she went to the state, has me listed as 180. Well, so I expected to be, because for the last many, many decades, I was usually around 220, 230. I got on the scale, and I was shocked. It was 198. And it really, because again, there's nothing on the side left. There's no stomach left. There's hardly any stomach. I've changed. So that really did, because I'm constantly hungry, and I wonder about, I need to eat more. But maybe this is why, because again, when you do. I am still doing 500 and some jumping jacks a day, plus walking typically a marathon a week. Last week I was a little shy, but most weeks, I get 20, 30, and sometimes as much as 40 miles in a week. But I also, on Friday's call, I used the expression because I've used it many times, the idea of 15 minutes of fame. And I use that expression because there was an artist of many years ago, Andy Warhol, who basically coined the expression, or the expression is attributed to him. Apparently there are similar expressions, but the idea of 15 minutes of fame is typically credited to him. And, because what it makes me think about, too, besides the idea that sometimes somebody, the example was obviously the people who were the whistleblowers with YouTube. There was one with Google, one with Pinterest, one with the post office, and the latest with Facebook or Instagram. And, typically they get their, the 15 minutes of fame and they disappear. A lot of them are just, gone. Some of them have trouble, and some don't. Because, for example, the one gentleman, Eric Cochran, who worked for Pinterest, and he's the one where I did the video about, where I describe myself as the repeat offender. And he got a job with Project Veritas, the company that he exposed Pinterest via. So he did get his 15 minutes of fame, but got a job through them. So he's surviving. And every once in a while, he gets on stage again, too, because when they do a little event, you know, it's the rah-rah thing. Here's one of our whistleblowers. But the latest gentleman who, you know, he apparently is a Christian gentleman. And because he went to a Christian fundraising site to raise funds for his family. And within 24 hours, being a whistleblower with Facebook, he raised $300,000. And it's kind of like, you know, that was more than 15 minutes of fame. That was a whole day of fame. And it really surprised me. But he's the oddity, because there are so many who don't. And the important point of, you've listened to his interview, he suggests about 25% of those employed with Facebook, when they see what Facebook does, they say, this is a problem. But they stay. Why do they stay? They pay well. To say, you know, again, and I'm going to expand on this later, it's the Catherine Austin Fitz has this idea of the red button. She spoke with in front of a group that she described as spiritual people. I don't think we'd call them Christian people. Whatever it was. And they were posed with a question. She said that basically about $1 trillion a year is being funneled through various laundering efforts for drug money and things of that nature. And if there was a red button set in front of you, that you could push it to stop this, just like that, but it's going to cost you all your investments, your retirement, and whatnot, would you push the button? And her statement was, out of a group of about 100, only one would. And my point is, a follower of Christ, there is no question. It's not what it's going to cost me in obedience to Christ. You push the button. Whether that's being a whistleblower, whether that's simply not doing a particular thing or walking away from a lucrative position, you push the button. Because your obedience is to Christ. If you want the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, if that is your priority, and you're not willing to say, I'm willing to walk away from that in obedience to Christ, your allegiance is to the world, not to Christ. Some people repent. Others will end up being, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? It's a hard, hard thing. But reason I'm doing this also is because I'm putting on a DVD, in particular two videos that I just watched again. One was called Foundation, Kaiser Kurios, or the whole title, Foundation, Kaiser Kurios, Caesar's Lord, Zeke Heil, Hail Victory, and Social Distancing. It's a video that I did last year. I put it on, you know, it's still on Kozlowski.org, it's still in BitChute and Brighteon. But if you go to the link on YouTube, it's marked as hate speech. They took it off. And so I want to have a copy of this, especially for my kids and grandkids, in order for them to have a little bit of understanding of history and today. I did a follow-up video on called When Proclaiming Christ is Hate Speech. This was done June 14th of last year. And I'll put that on too, because then I go into some details, including discussing some of these pictures that I have on my wall. So for my family, it'll give you some idea of, you know, when you go and wonder about some of the pictures here, or, you know, this one, you know, a picture of the Nuremberg rallies, or here, my dad, here, and this one, of course, is the one that's kind of very provocative, where in that picture is my mom, my grandfather, my grandmother, and Adolf Hitler. So I do have literally a picture of Adolf Hitler on the wall, a picture of Adolf Hitler. And the question is why? Because it's my family. And of course, for my kids, it's your grandparents or great-grandparents. And so I give you a little bit of that history. And one of the things that I have pointed out many times, and this will give you some of the foundation for that, I do claim that that was called the Third Reich. We are the Fourth Reich. Reason I say that, again, and you know, the difference is, I give you the evidence. If you look at the Third Reich, this is the Hitler called it the Thousand Year Reich and so forth. It was the third rise of the German regime government as he described it, but as it collapsed, a whole lot of those people who were involved in that, because a lot of people had abilities. The reason they did so well in World War II is because they had a lot of people. They had the infrastructure, but the people who made that infrastructure had value to a lot of people, a lot of countries who said, we want that talent. Soviet Union got some of it. England got some of it. A large part of it came via Operation Paperclip. And you can check this. Check, verify what I say is true. Operation Paperclip brought in, I think it's over 1,000 people. Or thousands, I'm not sure. The notable person, as I pointed out, is Wernher von Braun, who ended up as head of the space program in the United States. He took that job February 1, 1956, the day I was born. And that's where we have the picture of George took it when George and I went to in Huntsville to the Space Center there. He took the picture of me pointing to the plaque that honored Wernher von Braun. He came over with Operation Paperclip. So a lot of the people, which included their mindset, came to the United States. So we don't call ourselves the Fourth Reich, and we kind of belittle it in the sense that there was a movie made by that title. So we think it's fanciful and whatnot. It's very real. Because remember, a lot of the mindset, I'm getting long and I wasn't, the mindset of the Third Reich was not simply something in Germany. Some of it, if you look, there are photos about, there's a magazine cover and there's other things where they were concerned about the feeble, those people with various inabilities who are a burden on society, and the objective is to say, let's make sure they don't reproduce. Where did they get that idea? Planned Parenthood, literally. You know, it was the Birth Control League before it was called Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger who led that, and Guttenmacher and the other gentleman. One of the gentlemen actually was asked to show up in Germany. He did, to help the Germans establish various programs to get rid of the feeble. And it included people with physical or mental problems, and gypsies, and homosexuals, and the Jews. It didn't start in Germany. It started here. Just like the Nazi salute was developed in the United States. It was called the Bellamy salute. named after Bellamy, who was the one who wrote the original Pledge of Allegiance that we have. So that salute he did. And again, as I point out in the video, that salute was used in the United States until 1942, when it was changed to the hand over the heart by an act of Congress, a literal act of Congress, because it had the connotation of what was done in Germany, but it started here. That's important. So you think we'll not do the same thing? And what do they do? You know, again, you use things like Operation Himmler, where they did a bunch of false flags in order to instill people. You'll see the events around Kristallnacht, and I have a video on that also, where they inspired people to say, let's rally together because we have a problem. We have those within our country that we have that are our enemies. We have those outside that are our enemies. We need a strong country, follow our leader, and we'll defeat the enemy. You look back in the history of the United States around the Rees Commission. You read about that, where they looked into what was being done in the United States with the nonprofit organizations that were doing things in order to study things like what is the most important, most viable way to change a culture beyond war. And they said, no, war. But it didn't stop there, because several other things are happening that have been used and reused and reused, and they grow in proportion. You know, one is global nuclear winter, then global warming, global cooling, global warming, and then, of course, we made it generic with climate change. Again, 99% plus of climate change caused by the sun. You can't regulate that. But the objective there is get people. We need the power of the state to protect us. Another one is a disease. This has been tried over and over and over again. And done a lot of things, such as the idea of saying, okay, in order to protect people, we need to use vaccines, so we're going to give people vaccines. But the industry that makes the vaccines, well, they're at risk if they make a mistake. So what we'll do, unlike any other industry, you can't sue the vaccine industry. When you make the lawsuit, it's against the U.S. government, so it's taxpayer dollars. And billions upon billions of lawsuits are paid out for illness, defects, and death caused by vaccines over the years. Constant. But it's the taxpayers, not the companies that make the vaccines. So we've instilled into people that be afraid of a disease, you know, the swine flu, Zika virus, the Ebola and whatnot. We've done it over and over again. And finally, we hit something that really is working well with COVID-19. It's fraud. It is fraud. And what do the vaccines do? You know, right now, U.S. is over 5,000 dead. World count is well over 10,000-15,000 dead from the vaccine itself that are just reported. And many estimate that the number is really low. Because, you know, and what is the purpose behind this? Again, you go back to, I've used the example of a whole lot of people, such as the Margaret Sangers, who, you know, were involved in eugenics. I do mention even in the video Neville Chamberlain from England, who was the prime minister at the time, very much into eugenics. And so we have those kind of things, and then we have the modern version of that. For example, a big-time eugenicist is a gentleman by the name of Bill Gates, who is the largest funder of the World Health Organization, and has devastated a huge population within Africa and India. with the vaccines that he's provided that he has no liability for. And he's making billions off of them. And one of the things, if you look at, again, if you look at the total death count from all causes, there, with the exception apparently around the world, there's no blip last year. The exception is New York and California. And the argument is that was not because of COVID-19. It was because of the way it was managed. Something like 15,000 dead, for example, in nursing homes. You know, and what is the one big killer? Loneliness. It is apparently a bigger killer than the flu. But what you will find, look at the radical drop in the birth rate. It's been significant. Two reasons. One, you know, social distancing is going to reduce it, but there's a pointlessness in life in a lot of people. Plus, there is strong evidence the vaccines, you know, what they call vaccines, will slow down or stop reproduction. So this is going to impact my kids and my kids' kids big time. Why do you want to do this? It's the exact same mentality of the Third Reich. That's why we're the Fourth Reich. And when I put that video online, the first one, YouTube called it hate speech. I want my family, my kids especially, and perhaps even my grandkids, to have a little bit of an idea about their grandparents, great-grandparents, and so forth. You know, because the picture of my grandfather, you know, he was born in the 1800s, late 1880s, 1890s, I don't remember. Long time ago. And whereas I didn't meet him, I met his wife, spent a lot of good time with his wife, my grandmother. We had a wonderful relationship. She was a delightful lady. And, you know, I can't, my kids and grandkids can't interact with them. Well, I'm trying to give you a little bit of that history, because it's not like somebody when you go several generations back, there's no pictures or anything of nature. Well, I give you pictures and tell you a little bit about them. I hope you find it, because I remember Tirza had some of the photos and was interested in them years ago. So here's some information about my kids, my parents, grandparents, and what they went through and what's happening. Again, Solomon's line. There's no remembrance of former things. There's nothing new under the sun. The passage from Ecclesiastes. What you're seeing, what you read about that happened in Germany is happening again. We don't say Sieg Heil, but we effectively say Hail Victory. It's the same. So this is the intro. I got long. But I want my kids to know. Because the world is going to tell you, bow to the state. And the point I make, don't bow to the state. Bow to the Lord. And last point is on the foundation video, the Kaiser Kurios. The end, it was kind of impromptu, where I make the question, you know, is that you? That was not supposed to be just a rhetorical question. That the objective there is, be that person. There are people have used that. Be this guy. Taking that picture and another picture, that similar thing. Actually, it was a little kid that was kind of out of the crowd. He said, be this guy. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the Lord. And the other one, the when proclaiming Christ is hate speech. The end was impromptu. And I meant it. To my family, I love you.